Hi, I'm Catherine.
And I'm Lynn, and we are a coffee break
with Cat and Mom. Welcome back to our podcast. Today is episode 16. Crazy how far we've come. Yes. Today we are going to be talking about the lessons that I've learned as an athlete. I was a swimmer for 15 years, so I've learned a lot throughout those 15 years, and it's also been majority of my life was spent in the water, pretty much. So there's a lot of lessons that I wanted to share with you guys today. And then my mom was also an athlete. She was a figure skater, but also a swim mom for my older sister, me, and now my little sister. So she has pretty much seen it all and how we've grown throughout the sport. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to share that with you guys, because I'm sure there's a lot of athletes that are watching and will resonate with a lot of what we'll talk about today. But first, we do our week in review. This week, I just started training for a triathlon. I'm very dead already. I'm super tired and sore. So I need to be like constantly stretching and drinking water and eating protein. So that has been my week. I'm only day three, though. So, I'm already day three and I'm dead.
But you did do your sister's swim practice. So they you can go and try, you know, and have like one free. Well, I'm pretty sure you would let you go do mm-hmm. another one. But anyway, and so Catherine and one of her best friend, Kennedy, are doing that triathlon together. So mm-hmm. they were able to go and do the practice with. Obviously, there's like, I would say like almost three sets of eight, yeah. if you want to. So she was with the oldest one. Her sister is in the middle. And so that was kind of fun because I've always seen you and mm-hmm. Isabella swimming together, my oldest one. And I was like, you know, you yeah. and Amelia, that was kind of cool. And I will say Amelia was so excited to have her.
She was very excited. But mind you, I also haven't done like a hard swim practice like that in 3 years. Like I've been in the water like and did some lap swimming. But nothing like that. That was almost 5,000 yards. And I think it pretty much was like 5,000 yards.
Yeah.
So that was like, that really showed me where I was at. And I got through the whole practice like fine. My shoulders did feel like bricks at the end. But I mean, I think I'm starting at a pretty good spot with endurance for this triathlon. If you guys have watched our past episodes of us where we're just having like a chill episode, we sit in bed. You'll notice that the color of the room is different
yes.
because she spent this week painting
mm-hmm.
because we're trying to sell the condo. So if you guys are looking for a place in Florida, please hit us up.
I think we say this at every single episode, yeah. but now I decided I'm like, you know what? Maybe it just needs a little touch up and freshen yeah. things up. So that is what I'm mm-hmm. doing this week. I'm not done. So, maybe we'll film in another room mm-hmm. next week and then, hey, this is the other room. But yeah, this is just, it needed it.
Yeah.
Needed it.
And then, so that's pretty much our week. Mm-hmm. Nothing like crazy has happened. My boyfriend just came back from
yes, big
winter break. Here. So yeah, I'm very excited about that. Now we'll move into our next segment, which is our coffee review. Every episode yes. we review a new coffee shop to promote small businesses. And, we go there, we try the coffees and, try something to eat. And then we come back and tell you guys how it is. This week we went to VI Coffee Bar. They have been blowing up on TikTok recently for their chicken Caesar wraps. But
TikTok, that's back on.
Yes. Yeah. I literally was like, there's no TikTok during this like little trip to VI Coffee Bar. And I was like, I really wanted to film this. But I have like a Snapchat video of me eating and drinking the coffee from there. So I guess I'll put that up. But we both ordered the Katana Kitten, which is a strawberry matcha. I just got her recently into matcha.
I'm totally my favorite now. As long as there's a little strawberry something. I'm not even a big, I mean, I love strawberry, but I'm not a big, like, I need strawberry in my food. But if there's a strawberry foam thing on top, I'm sold.
Mm-hmm. So, it was amazing. You can get it either, like, half sweet, half unsweet, unsweet, or just, like, fully sweet. I did fully sweet. She did half and half.
But that's the thing now that I don't even know how to order it. So when I go by myself and say, hey, you know, I want this. And then the lady's asking, what do you want? Like non-sweet, sweet, half sweet. I'm like, I don't know how she, I need to listen to her when she orders because I don't know how I like it.
Every month they have a new menu that pertains to like the season, or maybe it's like every season they have like new drinks, but they come up with super cool ideas and that you wouldn't even think about to make into a drink. And it's just, I love how unique and creative they are with that. If you guys are in Boca, go check out BI Coffee Bar. Get their chicken Caesar wrap, matchas, coffees. It's all great. So shout out to VI Coffee Bar. You guys are amazing. And then we have our little coffee break mugs.
Yes.
If you guys haven't seen them yet, we always give them a little shout out because they're so cute.
And right now I have tea because, I mean, we're not going to complain, but there's been some snow in northern. I'm actually in the panhandle of Florida.
Yeah.
Snow in New Orleans and Texas and whatnot. Like where you got, you know, where we're from in Iowa, it's been minus whatever. I mean, right now, I think today is like a heat wave of 16. Mm-hmm. So we can't really complain here, but let's just say it's been rainy for 3 days straight.
Chilly. High wind. But yeah, northern chilly. Florida has gotten a lot of snow.
Yeah, so it's a little hot tea for this afternoon.
Yes.
Because we're kind of cold. But that's why we're inside too, because it's really not a beautiful day outside here. So
yeah. But now we are going to dive into our topic. If you guys, I mean, I think that this pertains to like, whether you were a band or theater or sport, it comes with a lot of discipline.
Any extracurricular activities, you need to really put dedication into what you're doing. So
that goes for like everything almost. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the first thing I want to talk about is the discipline within like a sport. I only really swam because it consumed all my time outside of school. So this is going to be like more my experience. I'm sure all other sports are pretty similar, but it would be like wake up 4:45 in the morning, go to practice at 5:15 to stretch, and then get in the water at 5:30. And diving into the pool at 5:30 when it's cold and you're tired is such like a mental block. Like it is the worst feeling to jump into the water, but the mornings that the water is warm,
That's good.
Nice.
I remember you guys leaving and one of you guys' friends, Eve Berg, shout out to Eve Berg. She's hilarious. She's a clown. But she had the coach trying to go and get you guys some onesies pajamas. And you guys all got one and it had like the logo of the team, like on front and back and stuff. So you could, you know, like when you guys were not driving yet, like we could drop them off at the pool and then you could see all the swimmers like a 5:15 in the morning walking in with their onesies and a jacket over and then we could see them also on pool deck. But yeah, that was funny.
Yeah. But then, so it would be like morning practice for an hour and a half. Then that is where, well, during middle school, I'd have morning practice and then I'd have to get changed really quick. We'd have one of the moms pick us all up because it was like three or four
rotation,
girls.
Yes.
Pick us all up, go to the middle school. We were always late for first period. So we'd have to get a slip. The front desk ladies were so annoyed every time we came in. We're like, can we have a little slip, please? And then after school, we would go back home or I'd go to my friend's house. We'd chill, nap, have a snack, and then we'd have to go back to practice at night. So
and then so their coach, which we were there from the get-go when this team opened up, started, it was coach-owned, which is a big difference if any of you don't know the difference between a parent run and a coach run team, it's completely different. So when the coach owns it and runs it, like the coach is, you know, it.
So if you don't like him and you don't like the coach, then you go to a different team. Like it's not where the parents are like, you have like five different coaches and your parents are like, nah, he's not working. We're going to fire him. Like he's not working.
No, he was in
charge. So there's no drama. There's no, I mean, there was drama, but there's no like drama pertaining to like who's going to be the coach and who's going to run the team. Like, that was already set in place. And if you had a problem with that,
but the parent board,
just
you know,
leave.
Having a president, vice president, secretary, whatever. Clearly his wife was, we became very good, close friends with the coach and his wife. So shout out to Damian Werner and Sally Werner and their three boys who were also swimmers and, you know, became all friends. They're all the same age. So he was a former
Navy SEAL.
So he was not for everybody. It was not the type of coach that, he was pretty intense. That's all I have to say. And in certain ways, sometimes, you know, looking back as a parent, you're like, oh, crap, you know, we could have just, you know, taken a break here, taken a break. Like, there was no break. You swim. That was your life. That's what you eat, breathe, live, you know, every day. When I was a figure skater, I needed a coach that was like that. Like, if you were like too sweet, too kind to me, I would just walk all over you. And it's, and I was aware of it. And I just like, I needed somebody that was more structure and kind of tough.
Yeah.
If you want. So that's how he was. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, from it was a feeding club as well, from the high school to the club and vice versa. I mean, you guys were like running. I mean, you all
yeah,
like
we, it was a everyone, powerhouse. Everything. It was really a powerhouse team. Yes. So for me, I needed like a coach that would yell at me when I needed to be yelled at and put me in my place when I needed to be put in my place and just really push me past my limits. So I really appreciate that. I know some people that doesn't work for them. And it also didn't necessarily teach me like self-accountability, because when he left the team and he moved, I had to kind of teach myself how to keep that mentality and keep that self-accountability when he left and he wasn't like on my ass about keeping those times and not breathing out the walls, just simple stuff like that. So I had to kind of coach myself, because the coach that we did have was not doing
complete
his job.
Opposite. He was completely opposite.
He wasn't really coaching. So I learned a lot of self-accountability there. And
I liked also the discipline from a very young age. So you started at 5, your sister started at 6, and you guys did a little bit of ballet before that, which was cute. But then I got to a point that we're like, oh, let's try swimming, because we had friends of ours that their kids were swimmers. And so that's how we joined like the first team. And then mm-hmm. we moved to Lane 4 aquatics, but, it's the discipline, and not just for the kids, but for the parents as well. Obviously following all the schedule, especially when you guys went on the same group, that was something else. And then let's not even talk like when Amelia was born and then she was a baby and you guys went on the same group. And then it was so many back and forths and overlapping times and whatnot. But the discipline of when you wake up in the morning and you get ready to go to school, even when you were younger, come back,
eating
obviously
enough,
practice,
like, yeah.
practice was earlier, like at the younger, the olders, you know, they were swimming till 8 or 9 at night. But then when do you do, like, when do you eat and whatnot? But when do you do your homework? And when, because now I will say nowadays, the school, the kids, they don't really have that much homework per se compared to what you guys had and projects and all this and just juggling all. Even your sister said, if I didn't have that, I wouldn't be like structured as I am right now. Or like, and she was a student athlete in college as well. Mm-hmm. And that helped her go through all this. Yeah.
No, it's definitely taught me organization and like how to time manage my school, my sports, like what to eat, all that. So like I have a good schedule and a good routine because of swimming for 15 years.
Self-discipline. That's what it taught you. When it has to do with food and stuff, I will say like when there was not really an off season. There was never an off season.
No, because so there with club swimming, there's no on off season. Like you're constantly swimming. And then we would be technically off from club swimming when it was high school swimming. And that's the times that we'd be at the high school from 5 a.m. to like 7 p.m. Because we would, a lot of us swimmers would teach swim lessons after our afternoon mm-hmm. practice. So it would be like lift and swim in the morning, school. And then you'd be exhausted during school, but you just had to kind of push through and then swim after school and then swim lessons. So you're just
and then the club with, you know, then the boys were swimming club and then it was flipping. But so like for like parents, maybe you guys are new parents with, you know, younger kids and they're going to become athletes and whatnot. The like dinners are not at the same time that you're used to, like, you know, like the good sitting down at 6 p.m. and just having a good dinner and whatnot. That doesn't happen. Our breakfast, like I remember we always food prep on Sundays. My breakfast was ready for them. Like, and we would make like all special little things different. Like just because, you know, you have to have protein and this and that. Mm-hmm. And nobody wants to start making breakfast at 4:45 in the morning. And then when you come home after, you know, like, or after school, you have to eat quick. But then every time, like it didn't matter if they came home at 8 or at 10, you have to have another dinner ready.
Oh my gosh,
because they're starving.
It was like a 2.5 hour practice. And one thing about Damien, my swim coach, was he would get very philosophical during swim practice. So sometimes they'd be waiting out there for an hour past
when
they're supposed to be done with swimming. And he'd be having a talk with us for an hour about, I'm going to have to come up with some metaphors here. One time he compared life to a brick wall. He said, unlocking the pearl of your oyster and then don't be a cow that stands in like the field because,
or don't miss the helicopter.
Don't miss the helicopter. Or, this one was a very good one. You know, like the horses when they're in a race where they have like the blinders, so they only see straight and they don't like get distracted with something else. He said, don't live your life with the blinders on. you need to open your eyes and see what else is around you and like enjoy the journey. He had very good talks.
He had very good points and stuff. However, after a whole day of all this, and it's now 8 o'clock at night.
No, the latest we've gotten out was like 11:30 at night.
Yes. But that's when you guys were driving. And then I think somebody had texted probably his wife, Sally. But I mean, we would just be like 10 parents in the parking lot. Like, we're all, tired. Yeah. We know what we have to do when we get home and get ready. And, you know, some of us had to wake up early in the morning and go work and stuff. But I just remember that it took us like maybe 5 kids to understand the whole conversation because all the kids had stopped listening at different spot.
Yes.
So it took us like all the parents, like maybe 5 or 6 parents. I'm like, okay, now we got the
That's one thing that it helped me with is my attention span, because in class, no 2-hour lecture can like compare to his lectures, because you're sitting there like, what? But also I think I've learned a lot of good lessons from them, and I do think about them honestly quite often, and it's very like they were very inspirational. So I think that we should get them on a TED Talk. Another thing that Samina has helped me with is goal setting. I still like practice goal setting now, and our coach would have us like set our goals for that season, and we would have like talks with him throughout the season too, to like see where we're at, how we readjust the goal. And he also taught us how to like set attainable goals, because sometimes they're just so unattainable that it stresses you out. Like, it's just not realistic.
No. Like, I'm going to go to the Olympics.
Yes. When you're like 10 years old and you're like, go to the Olympics this year, like you're 10. I mean, maybe it's possible for somebody out there, but for me, it wasn't.
Not in 1 year.
But
I mean, even Michael Phelps didn't do it like this, you know? So
now, like with the triathlon, like I need something, like I need to set a goal and work for it and like have a set date to where like that goal, like I want that goal to end at, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then like long-term goals too. So we did a lot of practicing with that, which I can still apply to my future now outside of sports too.
And I think it helped your sister as well when she, I mean, just going into university level and row for her university, it was the same thing. It was like 2 practices a day. Plus, I mean, this is college level studies, you know, it's a little bit more intense and leaving for meets and, you know, like doing your homework and stuff on the bus. And well, I mean, sometimes they flew, but I'm just saying like, this is all also mental work and So I think that it helps. And it could be like I said, we're talking about sports because my kids were athletes and still are athletes. But even if you were doing theater or whatnot, I mean, it's the mental part of it is huge as well. I mean, because, you know, you're competing, plus you're competing sometimes against your own friends. But then you still have to go to school the next Monday and continue, like life doesn't stop at the meet. And so the crying because you didn't swim well and this and that and moving on from it. And so,
But yeah, I still apply a lot of these.
Mental toughness. That's the word I was looking for. Sorry.
I still apply like a lot of the goal setting, time management, discipline to my life right now. And that could be like in my future job or my job now, the podcast. I'm very structured with it, very routine. Every Sunday at 9 a.m. I'm really like, it really inspires me and my creativity. So
I'm inspired by your creativity with all that you do. I mean, clearly, I'm not saying my generation is not good with computers and whatnot and technology, but we're not as good. And knowing that I have 2 daughters that are, well, 3, I think even Amelia is better than me, that can't help me. It's just, I'm not prone to this. I know people my age are like huge in technology, but I'm not. So watching you. And then when you show me things that she does with the podcast, I'm like, oh my gosh, we can do this. This is awesome. So,
but like, that's the thing is, like with swimming, when there's always something more that you can learn about your sport or about like theater or band, like there's always something more that you can learn. So like we would do, we'd sit down in a room and we'd watch a video of proper stroke technique. Even if you are an Olympic swimmer, there's always something that you can change and learn more about. So that has also resonated with me now to this day that I like to research and learn more about what I'm doing. Now I'm going to move into like the friends and team aspect of it. You make a lot of your lifelong friends on the team and like those times, and they help you through like a lot of challenges, and they're there through like literally the hardest times, like 5 a.m. practices. You guys are bonding over hell and pain. And that That's is just such a special, too. Yeah, it's such a special bond to have. Is like, you're like, wow, I'm in hell right now. Like, this is so painful. And they're like, yeah, but we got this together. So those friendships were amazing. Now it gets a little bit toxic when you're put head to head with your friends. Mm-hmm. And she can even like talk on this too, how much it affected me mentally and how much it affected friendships and the team itself. Yeah.
Well, you guys are also growing. You're teenagers, yeah. You know, you're becoming like, you know, young adults. So things change and there's always like, you know, one might perform better on one side and less the other side. There's always a little bit of jealousy. There's, you know, like girls. So, I mean, on the boys' side, I'm guessing it was not, I mean, I don't know, maybe it was the same. I don't know. I don't have boys, but, you know, girls can be mean. So you deal with that too. However, there was a difference between the high school team and the club team.
Yeah, go check out the episode. Go check out the episode, The Time I Got Fat Shamed by My Teacher. And that goes into all the high school swimming drama and bullying that happened.
Yeah, not club.
That was terrible. But club, I really love the people that I swim with. And though it was maybe like not a love-hate relationship, but there's definitely some, like at one point my coach had to be like, turn around while they swam, because he understood his mistake that he put us head to head for years, mm-hmm. that it started to like cause mental health problems for all us girls because we were so young and all we knew was, okay, we have to beat her. But then how are we supposed to like say that and then go hang out like we're best friends right after? Yeah. So it was very hard to like kind of change your mentality than when you go to hang out with them separately.
And it was
very sad.
It was the same thing for the parents. Because yes. We knew what was going on and we're all sitting together in the stands. And of course, we're all screaming for a team because it is like it's still an individual sport. Swimming is an individual sport. Of course, if you do a relay, that's different. But for the most part, but you train as a team. And so, yeah. So even in the sense, it sometimes was a little like you're cheering for everybody, but you know, I can't lie that sometimes you're sitting like, come on, you can beat her. You can beat her, you know, yeah. And you just don't want, but at the end of the night, you know, you guys, I remember the meets, and this is like a big thing about being on a team of anything, or even being, you know, music, art, whatever, is your team and the parents become a team as well.
Yeah.
So I remember all the nights that we would go to the tribal meets, because they were pretty much all tribal meets, the mm-hmm. big ones anyways. And we would all, that's one thing, like I will always remember this. We were a group of at least six moms, if not seven. Every August we would sit down, literally the summer championship would just be done and the meet schedule, because it's always a year ahead who decides like who hosts what and where, and except the big meets that we would have to travel, that mm-hmm. was last minute, but that was block of rooms. But we would go and sit down with the cocktail of our choice, and that would take 2 to 3 hours one night. At, you know, we would rotate each, you know, year where we were going to go, but and sit down at someone's house, and all of our laptops were on and everybody was choosing a meet and then doing like, this is where we're going to stay. So when you do it a year in advance, because every single city knows that, oh, there's a championship coming up, we're going to raise
up the
price. So we would have our rooms for we knew which meet. So, and sometimes they were every other week. Mm-hmm. So the amount of money that we spent in just gas in hotel rooms and food, that's not even including the tech suits that are minimum $400 or $500, plus, you know, the swim fees and the this and that. And, oh, I broke my goggles. I have to have a sweatshirt as a, you know, mm-hmm. souvenir, whatever. So I remember those nights and sitting down with all those moms and reserving all of our rooms for an entire year, because you could change it or whatever, but at least we had them. But then being at those meets and you're done, you know, or the kids are on pool deck. Like, that was something that I really liked about this Coach Damien, is kids are on pool deck. Like, there's no parents. Now there's a USA rule that parents are not allowed, but at some point like kids could come up and down, whatever. And it was a no-no for him, which was amazing. So even for us as parents, like we could leave, take a walk, go, you know, exercise, or go have lunch, have a drink, come back. But like at night, we would all eat dinner together, put the kids to bed or in a room to watch a movie or whatnot, or, you know, in between prelim finals.
And that was like
kill time.
Right. So like she had her experience with the parents, and then the kids were like screwing around in the room and like watching a movie and stuff and being,
and
like,
parents would be in the lobby with their drinks and their beers or whatever, you know, but just because you also need a downtime. And it's kind of funny, not funny, but you know, you wait, and your sister
sent me something a couple days ago, mm-hmm. maybe last week. Like, you know, you're there waiting the whole dang day for a hope that your daughter's going to swim like faster than 28 seconds. But yeah. you've been there all day and you haven't done anything besides maybe walking up and down, whatever. And you're so exhausted. You're mentally like, I just lost an entire day. I mean,
but yes, the parents can bond over the fact that they're all just waiting 20, like 2 hours for a 20-second race.
20-second race, yeah.
But they actually, some swim parents actually crashed a wedding at one swim meet. So they had a lot of fun. I don't want to hear about the 2 hours.
This forever.
I don't want to hear about the waiting for 2 hours. They had their fun. Trust.
We had the fun. We did crash a wedding. But anyway, it was
in a hotel when we were all asleep. They got a little intoxicated and went and danced on the dance floor at a wedding, but and then got kicked out. But it's a very great memory.
Oh, so many memories at so many hotels, good hotels, bad hotels. I remember, you know, and when they say like it takes a village, we just became a village. I mean, yeah. So in the morning, like you have to go to like warm up. Sometimes you had to be like on pool deck at 6:45 or whatever. So I mean, you're up at 6:15 if you stayed in a hotel. Or then we would walk, mm-hmm. you know, like one parent would walk them to the pool if it was a walked in distance or a car and then come back. And we would do a rotation. That was, you know, something, but there's always like the behind the scenes, like here's the kids, you know, like we always priority, like they're fed, they're rested, you know, they have snacks and mm-hmm. whatever, but behind the scene, like parents get ready for like this, that weekend for a week straight, you know, and just yeah. make sure they have all the food, so many swimsuits, so many, because you know, like
backup swimsuits, because everything. Well,
do you have your swim bag? Yeah. Uh-huh. And then did we forget a swim bag once in a while? Yes, it happened. I don't have goggles. You're a swimmer. You don't have your goggles? Where to meet? You know, things like that. So, you know, I'm going to say heads up. I'm going to like prime myself here and I'm a very organized person. Then it's mm-hmm. not the same for every parent, but I was ready for every meet with whatever yeah. you wanted. It was, and now I have Amelia and I have,
this is the baby of the family. Yeah, and it's like, you're fine.
We're good.
Here's a couple carrots.
I get ready for her. She doesn't eat it. If we get to the point that you guys didn't eat, and then it was like constant eating on pool deck we're fine. We're just going to go get a smoothie there. I mean, it was, you know, you went through everything, but I see parents right now and they're like, oh, and we got this and this and this and this. I'm like, uh-huh. Like, are you ready for all this? I'm like, yeah. See, she's 11 right now. I'm not there yet. Oh no, you'll need it. I'm like, I got a little bit of experience. Yeah. Like I know where I'm at, but I'm still kind of ready. But then again, all of our stuff is in storage.
Like she said, the team aspect of it, like after the, like being head to head with your friends and stuff, at the end of the day, like you go to these dinners with the family and like mm-hmm. all the other families and the parents and stuff. And it's still like so much fun. And even though I know some of those girls talk hella shit behind my back, it was still like fun to meet up with all the parents and have like a pasta night dinner. And then we'd also do like dinners with some other swim families once a month. And there was like a theme.
Yeah.
So it was like seafood boil one time. So that was very nice that the parents, like, I think that really brought us all together.
Yep.
So like,
that was good memories.
It was just dumb drama, but really what I don't remember like the stuff they'd say behind my back. What I remember is like the good memories that I'd spend with the parents and the kids hot chocolate. And stuff.
That one year there was a huge, huge snowstorm and I took you and, Macy and
Riley Weir.
And we were so cold and I said, girls, we're having hot chocolate for dessert. Like we can't have really dessert and sweets. So I said, we're having hot chocolate mm-hmm. and you guys were swimming your first 500.
Oh, we swam so good.
So good. And so every single 500 after that, didn't matter if it was during the summer or not, I brought a hot cocoa chocolate for everybody before they swim.
But now I want to dive into some like very realistic negatives that can happen as an athlete. Mm-hmm. So anxiety and stress plays a huge part as an athlete. And I think that starting to swim so young and being pushed so hard, eventually like I plateaued and I just would work and work so hard, do 2 practices a day, sometimes 3. I do like, there's workout. A strength training session that I could go to. So I was doing everything and it just, I had like a mental block and I could not break past that mm-hmm. behind the blocks. I'd start biting my nails. I would get super anxious. And I would just swim terrible, but then I'd get in practice and I would do better than what I do in meets.
Yep.
Or I'd get like a best time in practice. And I couldn't replicate that in a meet.
And it's hard for a parent to see your kid doing this. Your older sister became had a nervous tic for a while. And that you just feel so, I mean, you blame yourself. And it just, like, I did this to my child. And then you're just like, okay, we're going to back up. And, you know, just going to take a break. And but then they don't want to, because then they're like, well, no, I'm going to be so behind. You know, I'm not going to be at the same level as I am. I cannot take a break. And, yeah, it's hard also for a parent to see their kids doing this. It's you need to really be open and talk.
And then it's also a lot, like, very hard for you to see the younger girls rise up. And now they're beating you, and they're beating all your best times. And but, like, when you were their age, you were, like on top of the world, and you were being compared to the older girls. So it's just, like, really hard to see the, like, tables turn on you. Yeah. And then still being, like, placed head-to-head with your friends, but you're just falling behind, and your body's just worn out. So that played a huge role in my, like, mental health and my anxiety. But then COVID came.
Yeah.
And honestly, I'd never been happier, because I think that's when I realized that, like, my body was just done with swimming. Like, I needed to take a break, and I needed to take a step back.
I think it was right before that that your sister went through the same thing and decided to quit swimming after high school champion, state championship, and then club state championship, and decided to move on to rowing. And she and I said, we row in Iowa? Like, really? I didn't know. I mean, I didn't know anything about rowing at that time, but yeah, they do row on the Mississippi. But I remember she was burned out too. She's like, I'm done. Like, and I knew she was done for years too, but she had not figured out what she wanted to do. And then, well, thankfully she went to your rowing, because she got a college scholarship from it, but, you know, and then went to the NCAA in London. But
I just kind of had fun with it for my last year of high school and try to enjoy it, not try to, like, I don't know, stress myself out too much, because in the end, like, swimming isn't your, I needed to wrap my head around, and I wish I would have learned this sooner, is that swimming is not something that you're going to have for the rest of your life. Which, like, yes, you can continue to swim, continue to do some practices in your, like, your 20s, but there's so much more to life than swimming. But when I was, like, 13 years old, that's all I thought life was swimming. And then I just learned about other hobbies and stuff that made me happy, and got to, like, actually focus on doing workouts that I wanted to do. And I still had that structure and discipline to continue to work out and really focus on my academics. And
what? Which is very important.
Yeah.
And I not to just all of a sudden, like, oh, I'm not working out anymore. Like, I'm not doing any sports, you know, so.
But yeah, so pretty much I plateaued, and then I swam senior year, like I said, decided not to swim in college. I had a talk with some coaches. I had one coach in Florida that I was talking to, and I decided, like, this is just not something I'm passionate about anymore. It's caused me more mental struggles than good. So I was going to, like, focus on myself, go to Florida and actually enjoy Florida, go to the beach, not be micromanaged.
I mean, you saw your sister, not with swimming, but with rowing, still going through the same thing that she had been through in high school. And you're like, I remember you said, like, I don't want that.
But yeah, no, I just decided not to swim on a team in college. And I think for me personally, and that is something that, like, you kind of have to decide on your own. If you truly love your sport and you're passionate about it, then, like, go for it, swim in college or do your sport in college. But it just wasn't something that made me happy anymore, fulfilled me. I think I got a lot out of it, and now I can take what I've learned and apply it to something else. So that's what I have to say for anybody that's struggling with a plateau or burnout. Really see if, like, it's causing you mental health problems or mental struggles, and take a step back and see.
There's more to life than you're in that sport. And and as a parent, when we need to recognize this in our kids, and I know it's hard when they're in college. I just want to touch base a little bit for, because your sister was involved with this. And if you guys can go read about Morgan's message, and it is part, there's chapters in almost all big universities, especially Division I, I think, with sports. Read the story about Morgan. And so that's why it's called Morgan's message. She was an athlete. I can't remember the sport, if it was soccer or lacrosse. I can't remember. But there's way too much pressure and mental health issues in sports, let alone in collegiate sports, especially with scholarships, because you, clearly if you have a, if you're on scholarship, the school owns you, so this is your job 100% of the time to
perform. You should, but that's something that you should enjoy, should fulfill you, should be passionate about. And
it is not for the rest of your life. You need to have fun doing it still. And those chapters, they're kids, they're student athletes that help each other. And if you need even extra help, they will guide you where to go. There's always somebody to help you.
Yes.
But please remember this. There's always somebody to help you.
So I just wanted to touch on that because I'm sure I know a lot of other people who have been through the same thing. It's very hard to get over and learn, but I'm very thankful for that period of my life. And I think it's really helped me grow to the person I am today. Mm-hmm. And so I'll never I'll never regret that.
There's some ups and downs, but there's more ups than there were downs.
Yeah. I built a lot of friendships and memories, and I'm very thankful for those. Next, it's kind of the same thing, but it's more to the younger crowd, but this is about the younger crowd, but to the parents. I've been seeing a lot of parents putting their 8-year-old kids, 9, 10-year-old kids in a sport. See, I started swimming at 5, and I didn't really get pushed until I was 12, I'd say, really being pushed. But my coach still knew the limits. Even though I wanted to keep going and be pushed past those limits, he was like, no, we need to take a step back because I don't want you to plateau at a young age.
Which you had no problem telling the parents too.
Yeah.
They had no problem putting us back in our place if we were.
You need to calm down. Your kid's 10. Yeah. But I see kids who are 8 and their parents are putting them in over, there's a limit. There's a USA swimming limit.
Yeah.
I'm sure in other sports too, where it's a limit of hours that they're allowed to perform in.
Per age
and
group.
This parent is putting them in the max limit. And it's, even then it's too much for an 8-year-old. And I looked at it and it will, one, cause academic performance to decline because they're, not always. I'm just saying that this can happen. They're so focused on the sport rather than the academics. And academics should always come first.
Absolutely. And that your coach always said that.
And then social development. Yes, I'll have a social life in swimming, but when there's other 10, 11-year-olds who are doing it for fun at that age is when you should be doing it. You should be learning discipline, but in a fun way and in a social environment and make good friends. Well, you're there literally to kind of please your parents and you feel like you have so much pressure on you. It's not going to help with the social development aspect.
And unfortunately, some of those parents don't even realize what they're doing, because I know if some of you are watching us, you'd be like, that's not me. And maybe it is you. Some of the parents on the team where Amelia is swimming now, one of them does that. And unfortunately, the dad never says, my daughter loves the coach. My daughter needed that kind of coach. It's always, that's the coach I like, and that's the coach I want. And that's, it's not you swimming.
Yeah.
It's your kid. And
she's 8.
She's 8 years old.
You should be putting them in a sport to remain healthy, but also make friends, learn social skills.
You can still have a little bit of competitiveness. It's healthy, but not,
she's
homeschooled because of her sport, and does 2 8. Practices a day. She does yoga in a couple days I mean, I'm looking at him and I'm like, unfortunately, you never know.
It could be amazing.
Be amazing. She might make it to the
end. I'm not saying that this is
But let's just say that we've seen it in our 15 years of, I've seen it in the 15 years of being a swim parent. There's more people quitting at an early age than going forward.
And if it's not quitting and their parents still continue to pressure them, it goes outside of swimming. And then in the job world or academics and you can't be putting, I'm not a mom or dad, but I've seen it from friends of mine, and you can't put that pressure on your kids. Just, you don't even tell them that you're good job, you're proud of them. I don't even hear that sometimes from the parents of my friends. Mm-hmm. It's just so sad.
But I'm going to say that I'm going to be I did it a couple of days ago. I'm going to be totally transparent here. Any sports costs a lot of money in all aspects. and the driving and to get here and this and this and this. And if you, it's okay to not have a good practice once in a while. It's okay to have maybe two a week. That's fine. You don't feel it. You don't feel super good. You're tired. You're stressed with school, whatever. But to have a bad practice or to be disrespectful or to be not listening and whatnot, I'm sorry. But as a parent, I'm going to be on your ass. I mean, it's like, I'm paying for this, so we're going to have a talk.
Yeah, here. No.
It's that balance, you know, that you need to find.
And then along with that, like mental health, down the line, it very well could cause anxiety and stress. Absolutely. But on a whole nother level, because they're trying to please the parents. And that's just causes a lot of unhappiness. And then along with that, physical injuries and burnouts, like that will cause physical injuries if you're pushing your kid at 8 years old to practices. Like, it's just not okay. But I just wanted to touch on that because I'm very passionate about that. I don't think it's okay. There's a reason why there's limits to why, like, to younger kids and how many hours they can train a week, because it's detrimental to their mental health and their body down the line.
Well, just down to the tech suits, there's actually rules on what kind of tech suit a kid up to 12 years old can wear, and then 12-year-old and over. If down to the suits there's a regulation, well, then you should probably follow at least the amount of hours. And that was something that your coach, Damien, was very, like, it was very important for him, because some parents are like, well, why can't my child do two, you know, practice a day, like her sister's doing it.
And he's like, they don't need to.
They don't need to, not at that age. They need to rest, they need to go to sleep and this and that. And so I'm going to say, as a parent, I'm very, very lucky that I had girls. Even Amelia is, like, you know, she's homeschooled right now, but she is disciplined enough to know when she's home, I want to go to bed. I want to eat. Let me take a shower, eat, go to bed. You know, just, I was very lucky with you guys. I hope I helped, you know, with all this, because I'm a very organized person too. But it's, you have to find when it's time to have fun and not have fun. Yeah. And I remember when you grew up, we had a pool, you know, in our backyard, and the coach lived just the street over. And I remember right before the state championship, summer season, he's like, if I see any of you in the middle of this pool, you guys are all in trouble.
Yeah. But no, I'm very thankful for the memories and what I would have, if you guys are athletes right now, my one piece of advice would be to enjoy the journey, because that's what's going to last you a lifetime. Forever. Is all those memories that you made and the lessons you've learned. And I really wish I would have caught on to that sooner and not been so caught up in the moment and the stress and anxiety of it. So that is my one piece of advice to leave there. But that's all we have for the episode today.
Yes. The coffee, Boca.
VI Coffee Bar.
VI, I never say it right. So
I'm get the matcha. Chicken Caesar wrap in the matcha. Yeah. And then before we end every episode, we do a would you rather.
Would you rather. So today, totally off subject, actually, because I'm just going to say Catherine is sometimes like prone to trip on air. So we're going to do this. Would you rather fall down in public or, I'm not going to say pass cat, or fart in public?
Okay. Well, I've done both. there was one time, actually, a little side note, that I was in middle school and I farted. And it ended up being a loud fart in class. And I blamed it on the guy across from me and everybody believed it. So sorry, Kiefer, if you're listening. everybody believe me. But I'm going to do fall in public because I do that more often. I do it a lot. So, I'm pretty used to it and it's less embarrassing. So I know, like, the farts can be silent, but you know, it's a really hit or miss. It's a very hit or miss with that one. So I'm going to fall.
You're going to fall
in public. Yeah. That's all we have for today. Stay tuned for next week. Every episode's out every Sunday at 9 a.m. Go follow us on Instagram at acoffee.break, TikTok at acoffee_break now that it's unbanned.
I'm back on, yeah.
YouTube, A Coffee Break with Cat and Mom. Be sure to subscribe there. Video Spotify. Podcast on Spotify and YouTube. And let us know your guys' thoughts. So
thank you.
Have a great week.
Yep. Bye.